This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعين ونستغفره ونؤمن به وتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الدين يسر ولن يشاد الدين أحد إلا غلبه فسددوا وقاربوا وأبشروا واستعينوا بالغدوة والروحة وشيء من الدلجة رواه البخاري. This is narrated in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari on through the great companion Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said إن الدين يسر. This religion is easy. وَلَا يُشَادَ الدِّينُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. Nobody makes this religion difficult upon themselves except that it will overpower them. فَسَدِّدُوا, so follow the law, وَقَارِبُوا, and try your best, وَأَبْشِرُوا, and be optimistic about receiving a reward from your Lord, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالْغَدْوَةِ وَالرَّوْحَةِ وَشَيْءٍ مِنَ الدُّلْجَةِ, and seek Allah's help in the mornings and the afternoons and a portion of the night. Whenever we hear of hadiths like this or similarly the verses in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah chapter number 2 verse 185, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ, Allah wants ease for you, He does not want difficulty for you. A common question we get for many people is that these statements, like the religion is easy or Allah wants ease for you, does not match their experience of the religion. That for many people, their experience of Islam is that it's difficult, it's hard, it's extreme, it's a burden to follow. And so when they hear these hadiths that the religion is easy, they are unsure of how to understand these hadiths and apply them. So what I want to do today, inshallah, in the first khutbah, is to address this doubt, right? That the Quran and the hadith state that the religion is easy, but for many people, they experience the opposite. And I'll give about five different ways in which we can deal with that doubt, inshallah. And in the second khutbah, I want to give a brief explanation of this hadith that we can apply on a practical level to our daily lives. So, when people say that the religion does not feel easy to them, that this religion seems difficult, there are so many laws, so many things are haram, so many things are compulsory, it feels very difficult. How do we answer that? How do we respond to that? And maybe some of us might have that question in our minds ourselves. So inshallah, let's explore five ways in which we deal with this. The first way to deal with it is, where is the problem coming from? You see, the problem may not be with the law. The problem may be with our expectation of religion. That we live in an age of liberalism, an age of individualism, where it's all about myself, it's all about what I want. Where people are following their desires without any limits. And so when you look around and you see people who just do what they want, when they want, engaging with all of their desires, doing everything that is haram, and from your perspective, it looks like they are enjoying life. It looks like they are free. It looks like they have everything they want in this world. And when you compare that to following a set of laws, when you compare that to staying away from the haram, when you compare that to praying five times a day, then from that perspective, it looks hard. It looks difficult. It feels like life is more harder for us than it is for others. The people out there, whatever religion they may claim to follow, if they claim to follow no religion at all, their life just seems to be to do whatever they want. And we think that they are happier, we think that they are more free, we think that they have a better life, and then we feel that our religion is restricting us. So the problem is not with the religion. The problem is what we are comparing it to. We are comparing it to a lifestyle in which there are no rules. And we think that this lifestyle is nice. We think this lifestyle looks fun. We think that this lifestyle, you know, is what humans should be aiming for. And because of this, we have these new trends of modernist Muslims who are trying to reinterpret the religion in a way that agrees with that lifestyle. But what we don't realize is how destructive this lifestyle really is. If you look at the countries which have adopted this methodology of living, where you do what you want, and you just follow your nafs, you will find that those countries have the highest depression rate in the history of this world. they have the highest suicide rates in the history of this world. Why? If this lifestyle makes people happy, then why are people from this lifestyle more depressed and more suicidal? On the other hand, people who follow Islam, people who practice Islam, people who live by the law of Islam, they have inner peace. They have purpose. They have meaning. They have a way to get through life without going through these extremes of wanting to kill themselves. Why? If one lifestyle makes people happy and the other one makes life difficult, then why is the one that you think is making life happy, why is that causing depression? And the one that you think makes life difficult, why is that bringing inner peace? It's because we have the wrong perspective. Islam is a religion that's meant to civilize us. It's meant to make us the best versions of ourselves. And when we move away from that, and we choose to be animalistic in our lifestyles, that we want to be like the animals, you know, many of these evils that people follow these days, they say, oh, but the animals do it, so it's natural. You want to be like an animal? You want to live like an animal? Is that really why Allah gave us consciousness and brains and intellect, so we can bring ourselves back down to the level of animals? No, we are supposed to be civilized beings. And the laws of Islam, the morals of Islam, they civilize us to the best of man. We become the best of creation when we follow these laws. So the first problem for those who find the religion difficult is that you are looking at it from the wrong perspective. You are comparing Islam to not following any religion at all. And you think that that brings happiness, but it does not. Now, if you are to compare Islam to what other religions had as their laws at that time when it was revealed, or to what people's perception of piety and religion is, you will find Islam is a very practical and simple religion. A lot of human beings feel that to be religious, to be pious, to be practicing, you have to give up this world, you have to go live in a cave somewhere in the mountains and worship God all day. And this type of lifestyle is actually prohibited in Islam. This is a form of extremism that Islam shuns. Islam teaches us a very practical lifestyle. A lifestyle where you get married, where you have children, where you work, where you provide for society, where you serve your community, where you give charity, where you are involved with the people. It's a very practical lifestyle. So the first response to those who say that Islam feels difficult is that you are comparing it to liberalism and the comparison is wrong. The second response is that many of us who say Islam is difficult is because we don't want to follow any rules. The irony of this is that when rules come from human beings, we are very quick to follow it, right? If your boss has rules for the workplace, you don't think twice about following those rules. If your school has rules, you don't think twice about following those rules. You obey the law because you know it's important to follow the rules from a person in position and authority. Why don't we give Allah the same authority? Why don't we give Allah's laws the same authority? That when a person tells you that in this place you can't smoke, we listen to them, we respect them. But when Allah tells us, don't do this, don't do that, then we're like, oh, why is the life so difficult? You see, we're not giving Allah the level of authority He deserves. If we accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls this universe, He is the Lord of creation, He is the one who is most wise, most just, and therefore all of His laws come from a position of wisdom and justice, then we should obey that law with even more zeal than we obey the laws that human beings set up. So that is the second perspective, our perspective towards Allah as the lawmaker. That we give Allah the respect He deserves as the lawmaker. Number three is that we need to understand, based upon that, Allah is most wise, Allah is most just. Therefore, every single law that Allah has revealed is the most just of laws and the most wisest of laws, even if we do not understand how. This is the key point. You may not understand for every single law why is it the best? But you have to accept Allah is most wise. Allah is most just. Now for most of the laws we can explain it. We can see why it is for our own benefit that we should abstain from alcohol. Right? We can see why it is for our own benefit to fast. We can see why it is for our own benefit to give charity. But sometimes you might not understand it. Why is it for our own benefit, you know, for example, to stay away from zina? Some young people can't understand this. They can't understand what's wrong with it. Maybe as you get older and wiser and you live through life and you see, you know, those who live a zina lifestyle and how it ruins them, and those who live a pure chaste lifestyle and how it benefits them, then you begin to understand the wisdom. It may be you're too young to understand the wisdom. It may be you don't have enough life experience to understand the wisdom. It may be that science has yet to discover the wisdom. But we believe whatever Allah has revealed, there is wisdom in it. And therefore we trust Allah's wisdom and we follow His law even when we do not understand it. One of the fitnas in our time is that people only want to follow a law if they understand it. And if they don't understand it, they reject it. This is a problem of putting your ego and your knowledge on a pedestal. Where you are saying that if as long as I don't understand it, it can't be true. Not taking into account the fact that our knowledge is limited, our wisdom is limited, there are things we don't know, there are things we don't understand, and Allah knows everything, Allah is most wise. So trust Allah's wisdom and understand that every single law that Allah has revealed in the Quran and in the Sunnah is there for our own benefit. It is for the benefit of humanity. And we see this in the laws. You know, when you think about the laws, they really save us from ourselves. They help us to grow into the best versions of ourselves. You know, so even the simplest of laws like lowering your gaze. What a better world it would be if people lower their gaze. You know, how much more safer women would feel in society if men lower their gaze. Think about these laws, you know, the prohibition of zina and all these other kinds of deviancy that people are involved in today. How much more stable were families before zina culture became the norm? When zina culture became the norm, family got thrown out the window. Divorce rates skyrocketed. People today don't even know what a family is anymore. People don't want to get married, people don't want to have children, people don't want responsibility. When you see all of this happening, you understand the wisdom of Allah prohibiting zina and making marriage sunnah and in some cases compulsory upon people. So the laws have wisdom. The fourth response is that sometimes you're finding the religion difficult, and this is the only response I'm giving that may be a bit controversial, that sometimes you're finding the religion difficult because your understanding of the religion is wrong. You see, it's very much possible that we may have misunderstood something, or that we may have a wrong understanding of a fiqh issue, right? And sometimes when you are younger, when you are zealous, when you want to start practicing Islam, you go to that phase where you adopt the harshest position on every issue. So if you have three ulama talking about the issue, one saying it's halal, one saying it's makruh, one saying it's haram, you grab the haram opinion because you want to feel more pious than everybody else. Now when you do that for 100 different issues, suddenly you have 100 things haram upon you that the majority of Muslims don't see as haram. So the problem isn't with the religion being difficult, it's that you made it difficult on yourself. So if you're finding sometimes that the religion is like overburdening to you and it's too difficult for you, take a step back and reanalyze your understanding of the religion. You know, go and study with the ulama, study the books of fiqh, and see for yourself, is my understanding correct? You know, like for example, some people, you know, they find every small thing haram. You know, someone can be sitting in a masjid in a shirt and pants and say, oh, it's haram, you must wear kurta. Why? Study the books of fiqh, study the Quran, so you'll find it's not there. Are you just making it difficult upon people, upon yourself, for no reason? And then we'll come to that in the hadith, that when you make the religion difficult upon yourself, you find it overburdening. You find it too much. So sometimes, just sometimes, you know, we make the religion difficult on ourselves and then we think the religion is difficult. But the religion is not difficult. When you actually study the Quran and Sunnah, the actual halal and haram as revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find it is very practical. And many a times, half of the things that we may think is haram because either we don't like it, or because our forefathers told us it's haram, or because you read in the book it's haram, or because some extremist preacher on YouTube told you it's haram. You know, when you actually study the Quran and Sunnah and the madhabs, it's not haram. It's just one person's opinion. So seek knowledge to clarify your opinions on these issues. And the final response to those who say that the religion is difficult. And let's go over the four responses one more time before we give the final response. Number one, the problem is with our perception. That we are comparing following laws to not following any laws. And that's a problem. Everybody needs laws. We need laws to be the best versions of ourselves. Number two, we are not giving Allah the authority He deserves. That we are willing to follow laws set down by people, but we don't want to follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, is that whatever Allah has revealed is for our own benefit. And when you understand that and you accept that, then you will be more willing to follow His laws. Number four is sometimes we misunderstand the law and we make it more difficult on ourselves than it really is. And when that happens, we need to take a step back and restudy our religion. And finally, Allah knows best. Allah knows best what is meant by the word is. You see, the words have different definitions to different people. When the Prophet ﷺ said that this religion is easy, what Allah and His Messenger mean by easy could be very different from what you mean by easy. When we think of ease, we think of do what you want. But that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means when He says, Yuridullah bikum al-yusra. Allah intends ease for you. That's not what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant when He said, Inna deen al-yusra, the religion is easy. The meaning of the word ease to us is different from the meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to step away from our understanding of these words and go back to what does Allah mean? What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mean? And to do that, we go to the books of tafsir, the books of commentary of hadith, and we find the scholars explain what is ease. And inshallah, we will discuss that in the second khutbah. What is meant by this hadith? What is ease? And what does it mean by the religion is easy? Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi wahda. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiya ba'da amma ba'da. فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So this hadith that we are discussing, it's found in Sahih al-Bukhari in the second section, which is called the chapter of faith of iman. So it's a matter of faith, the matter of iman. What this hadith mentions is something we are supposed to believe in. It's part of our iman as Muslims. Under the subchapter, right, the subchapter. So this is chapter 2, subchapter number 29. The subchapter is called Babu Inna Deena Yusra, the chapter of the religion being easy. So Imam al-Bukhari named this chapter in his Sahih, the chapter of the religion being easy. And in this chapter, he included only two hadiths. One hadith narrated in full, which is the one we are going to discuss, and one mentioned, by the way, in the chapter heading. Now, just a small point of note here. When Imam al-Bukhari mentions a hadith in the chapter heading, but he doesn't mention it in full in the main text, it's because he did not consider that hadith as authentic as the ones he mentions in the main body, but he considered them authentic enough to be mentioned and also relevant to the topic. Right? So we're not discussing that hadith, the one mentioned in the chapter heading, but it's also an important hadith which basically the Prophet ﷺ said that the most beloved part of this religion to Allah is the easiest. The most beloved part of this religion to Allah is the easiest. That is an authentic hadith found in other books of hadith. Imam al-Bukhari mentions it, by the way. His chapter just revolves around one hadith, and that's the hadith we're discussing here. So again, Imam al-Bukhari has a chapter called The Religion is Easy. And in this chapter, he has one hadith. And that hadith is from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna deena yusra, the religion is definitely easy. وَلَيْ يُشَادَ دِينُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. Nobody makes it difficult on themselves except that it will overpower them. فَسَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا. So follow the law and try your best and be hopeful for reward from your Lord. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالْغَدْوَةِ وَالرَّوْحَةِ وَشَيْءٍ مِنَ الدُّلْجَةِ. And seek Allah's assistance in the mornings and the afternoons and a portion of the night. Now let's break down this hadith and explain it bit by bit. Firstly, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mean when he tells us the religion is easy? This is a point of aqidah, a point of iman, that our religion is easy. And the scholars have broken it down into four things. There are four ways that this religion is easy, not compared to following nothing, compared to following other religions or one's made up perceptions of religion. Four ways that this religion is easy. Number one, it benefits you. Any law of Islam you follow will benefit you. You stay away from alcohol, that's for your own benefit. You stay away from zina, that's for your own benefit. You pray five times a day, that's for your own benefit. You fast the month of Ramadan, that's for your own benefit. The religion is easy in the sense that everything you do that in obedience to Allah makes life easier for you. Any act of obedience you do for Allah will make life easier for you, and that is the first part. The second way in which the religion is easy is that it is very practical. It's very practical. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us to pray 50 times a day. He did not tell us to fast the entire year. He didn't tell us to pray tahajjud all night long. He didn't tell us don't ever get married, you know, to go and live like a monk in the mountains. It's a very practical religion. You get married, you have children, you go to work, you pray most 1 hour a day, if you're praying all your sunnah, right? Most 1 hour of the day goes in actual worship. Very practical. You give charity compulsory once a year, if you can afford it. You go for hajj once in a lifetime, if you can afford it. Very, very practical laws. Number three, the religion is easy in the sense that not only are the laws practical, but they're flexible. They're flexible. You can't stand and pray, you sit and pray. You can't sit and pray, you lie down and pray. You can't make wudu, you make tayammum. You're traveling, you can combine your salah, you can shorten your salah. Very flexible and practical laws. Number four, the religion pushes moderation. It pushes us towards moderation. It prohibits all forms of extremism. And we'll come to this in the next part of the hadith, where the Prophet said, nobody makes the religion difficult on themselves except that it will overpower them. What does this mean? When you make Islam difficult, you won't be able to follow your own understanding of Islam. When you make Islam difficult, you won't be able to live up to the standards that you are setting for yourself. So for example, we have the hadith where three young men, they wanted to be more pious. So one said, I'm going to pray tahajjud every night for the rest of my life. I'm never going to sleep at night. One of them said, I'm going to fast every day for the rest of my life. And one of them said, I'm never getting married, right? He's going to remain celibate for the rest of his life. The Prophet ﷺ got angry. He said, this is not my sunnah. This is not my sunnah. I sleep and I wake up for tahajjud. I fast some days, I don't fast other days. And I have wives, right? So Rasulullah ﷺ teaches us the path of moderation. The path of moderation, when you make this religion difficult on yourself, you will not be able to live up to it. You will not be able to follow it. You will experience what we call today religious burnout. And we have these cases where someone's young, they start practicing Islam, they make Islam so difficult on themselves that, you know, they don't do anything fun, they don't want to get involved, they don't want to get married, they don't want to live a normal life, they just want to worship all day, all night. And sometimes within 3 or 4 years, they stop practicing Islam altogether. And sometimes na'udzubillah, they even leave the religion. Why? Because they push themselves too hard. They set a goal that was unrealistic. They followed a version of the religion that's not what Allah wanted from us. And when you do that, you end up pushing yourself away from Islam and pushing other people away from Islam as well. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is warning us against extremism. Whether it's in our beliefs, whether it's in our understanding of the law, whether it's in our personal practice, we must not be extreme. We must be moderate. And that's where the next part of the hadith comes in. So the rest of the hadith are 4 steps. 4 things to do to practice this religion properly. And the first one is wasaddidu. Now the word saddidu is difficult to explain. Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah explains it as to be moderate in your practice of the religion. To be moderate in your practice of the religion. Meaning, gradually grow closer to Allah. Don't go to extremes. Don't make things difficult on yourself. Now he links it back to the previous part of the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever makes things difficult on himself, right, he will not be able to follow it. So be moderate in your practice of the religion. What does being moderate mean? It means, for example, okay, you want to start fasting extra every Monday and Thursday. Not every day, every Monday and Thursday. That's moderate. You want to start praying more, start praying your sunnah. Start waking up for tahajjud, pray 2 rakats of tahajjud. This is moderate. Don't go to extremes. Don't make things difficult on yourself. The next advice of Rasulullah is waqaribu. Qaribu here means, and there's different explanations given by different scholars, but the one found in the books of hadith is to try your best. Qaribu means try your best. Try your best to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try your best to pray 5 times a day, to lower your gaze, you know, to do whatever Allah asks you to do. You're not going to be perfect. No one's going to be perfect. But if you try your best, you know, I always say, if you try your best, Allah forgives the rest. You try your best, Allah forgives the rest. And that's the third advice. وَأَبْشِرُوا. Give yourself good news. What good news? Again, Ibn Hajar explains it and he says, give yourself good news that Allah is going to accept my efforts. Be optimistic that Allah is going to accept your efforts. So what is the hadith telling us? Number one, be moderate in your practice of Islam. Don't go to extremes. Don't make it too difficult on yourself and your family where you build such a high expectation for yourself and your family that nobody can live up to. Be moderate. Try your best. Try your best to obey Allah. Understanding you're going to slip up, you're going to make mistakes, things are going to go wrong, but you're going to keep trying your best. And number three, motivate yourself to keep trying your best by reminding yourself of Allah's reward. Reminding yourself. In India, he brings in another hadith to explain this. What is that hadith? That when you do a good deed, Allah gives you 10 times the reward or more. And when you commit a sin, Allah just gives you 1 sin. And He wipes it out if you repent and you do good deeds. So may use this to motivate yourself. That, okay, I'm trying my best to be a good Muslim. I slipped up. I'm going to try again. Inshallah, Allah is going to accept my efforts. Allah is going to reward me. Allah is going to forgive my sins. And you use this as a motivation to keep trying your best. Now the final part of the hadith, there are many different opinions on what it means. To keep it simple, I'm just going to stick to the opinion that I found in the books of hadith to be strongest, where the Prophet ﷺ said, seek Allah's assistance in the mornings, afternoons, and portions of the night. What does this mean? Well, the explanation I found that made the most sense is to pray Salah 5 times a day. That it is one act of worship to commit yourself to, that's going to save you from Jahannam, that's going to make life easy for you, that's going to protect you from extremism, that's going to keep you balanced and grounded. It's praying 5 times a day. How do they get this understanding? Wasta'inu, right? Seek assistance. In the Quran, Allah says, Wasta'inu bi sabri wa salah. Seek assistance through sabr and salah. So they link it to salah. And then they look at the next part of the hadith. Seek assistance in the morning, the afternoon, and a portion of the evening. The morning is Fajr. The afternoon is Zuhr and Asr. A portion of the evening is Maghrib and Isha. And maybe even Tahajjud. So, the scholars say that this hadith means be firm on your salah. So the hadith calls us for moderation. But on one thing, it calls on us to be firm for the rest of our life. And that is your 5 daily salah. Because this is what protects you. This is what keeps you grounded. This is what keeps you away from kufr. This is what keeps you away from losing your iman. If you are consistent on your salah. And so we end with the advice of Rasulullah ﷺ in this hadith, and I call upon all of us to follow this hadith and to live by this hadith. Do not be extreme in your practice or understanding of the religion. Understand that this religion is easy, and when you make it difficult on yourself, you will not be able to live up to it. So follow the balanced understanding of this religion, try your best, give yourself motivation and optimism that Allah will accept your actions, and be consistent on your 5 daily salah. سبحان رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أقيم الصلاة